then down the line is Adam Pengilly. Good morning, Adam.
Morning, Jamie. Morning, guys.
Well, Adam, as you know, we do Heroes and Villains on a Monday morning, and Hugh Bowman has come through as pretty much, I reckon, 8 out of 10 people texting through. Hugh Bowman has been the villain after what happened with Andrew Adkins, the fall at Rose Hill on Saturday.
Yeah, it was a shocking turn of events, wasn't it, Jamie? I was like everyone else, just watching the races at home there on the weekend. That first race, it was just such a scary moment to see Andrew come crashing into the turf like that. And it was such a horrible incident to watch. And Andrew, he's had surgery yesterday. Provided we have an update for some of the listeners out there. He had surgery yesterday to fix multiple injuries. He had a broken leg in two places. He had 7 fractured ribs. He had a collapsed lung as well as a broken collarbone. So he's going to be in the high dependency unit at Westmead Hospital for a couple of days at least. It's going to be a long and slow recovery process for him. I was actually speaking to Andrew last week, believe it or not, and he was telling me his car had broken down after the race at Canterbury there on the weekend. He said it was having a bad week. And then, I tell you what, it got a whole lot worse there on the weekend. So our thoughts are very much with Andrew and his family. Our thoughts are also with Danny Williams and his connections to the horse, Hot and Hazy. Unfortunately, had to be put down on the track there after that shocking incident. Just on Hugh Bowman, guys, I know there's been a lot of commentary in the last couple of days, and I saw essentially what everyone else saw, just watching that lateral camera angle from the race there on the weekend. It's hard to sugarcoat it. It didn't look great. It looked like it was a bad judgment call from Hughie's, his first ride back from the month. The stewards have adjourned an inquiry, which will hopefully be resumed at some stage later this week if Andrew Adkins is fit enough to give evidence. What I will say is, guys, that jockeys have to make so many split-second decisions in a race. Hughie's been riding in races for many, many, many years. He's ridden thousands and thousands of races. Potentially, he's made a very bad one here. I think I'd love to see other people see the head-on vision to get a fuller picture of what happened. There might have been extenuating circumstances. No doubt, Clint Gofield's horse, the leader, Mr. Colourful, had rolled away from the fence a little bit as Hughie was trying to angle into the clear. But let's just keep in mind that Hughie Bowman's going to be affected by this as well. He went home from the races on Saturday night probably feeling extremely, extremely bad about himself. I was told that he spoke to Andrew Adkins on Saturday night. He's not the type of guy who goes to the races trying to cause, you know, carnage and damage to other riders and horses. He might have potentially made a really bad mistake here, but let's just keep him in mind. And some of that social media commentary I saw on the weekend, guys, was pretty poor, it must be said.
Adam, can I ask, why have we seen very little media about it? I know Hugh Bowman is so well-respected, and I have no doubt he's going to be feeling this at the time. But if I think about every other sport in this country, this would be front page news. Why have we not seen much in the media?
Yeah, Clarky, I do take your point. I would say there's been a little bit in the media. Definitely the story ran on Channel 9 News and Channel 7 News on Saturday night, which you just never see for an off-season racing meeting. It got plenty of coverage in the national news on Saturday night. Since then, maybe not as much as what you potentially could have seen. I think we'll wait to see what the outcome is of the stewards' inquiry potentially later this week. It'll get a lot more airplay then, because I don't think everyone has got the full picture yet, to be perfectly honest, Clarky, because that head-on vision is so crucial to see what happened. And again, I'll stress that I saw what everyone else saw from that lateral camera angle on the weekend. It didn't look great. You can't run away from that fact. But I dare say you'll probably get a lot more coverage later in the week when that stewards' inquiry sort of ramps up again.
Yeah, okay. How much coverage is Willie Pike going to get for breaking his own national record?
Oh, he's getting a bit lorry, isn't he? He rode a double there at Belmont on the weekend. It was a fait accompli. He's going to do it at some stage in the next week or so. But just when you think about it, it's just an outstanding achievement that he keeps dominating year in, year out over there in Perth. So he's ridden more than 235 winners, which he chalked up last season. He just keeps on keeping on, doesn't he, really? I'd love to see him come over to the Eastern Seaboard and give him a crack for a month or two during the Spring Carnival or an Autumn Carnival or something like that. But as we've spoken about in the past, I mean, his life's super over there in the West, Willie. He's got the pick of the rides over there. He's got a close association with Bob Peters, and he loves being on his farm. So he'll be comfortable over there and probably break the record again next year.
Take us over to the UK. Enable wins the third King George. Surely that puts him up there as the best horse over there?
Were you excited by this, Jamie? Because she's an outstanding horse, probably the best in the world. There's no question about that. But she won a 3-horse race there on the weekend in the King George, and one of them was essentially a pacemaker, so she only really had one other rival in some respects. It's great. It's a privilege to see her go around every time she races. It was a third King George win, but as a contest, it wasn't a contest there on the weekend. So I prefer the Australian method of racing, big fields. I like handicap racing and competitive racing. I think over there you get those smaller fields in weight for age racing. And sometimes the mile can be a bit bland. I know not everyone will agree with me, but it was just great to see her back at the races, I suppose.
Right. How good's this horse for Chris Lee's Mugger 2?
Well, he did something there on the weekend, Laurie, that I didn't think he potentially could do. I thought he was the best horse in the race, but the setup wasn't great. He was first up, 1,500 metres, a whitish gate, having to be ridden conservatively. And let's be honest, he has grand final targets in two and a half, three months' time. So I didn't know how far he was going to be screwed down, but class carried him a long, long way there on the weekend. Huey let him get into fresh air and clean air down the outside there, and he put them away in a few strides. So that all goes well for spring later in the campaign. I don't want to talk up the comprehensive nature of the victory, because I don't think he beat too much, to be fair. A lot of those horses were well exposed and deep into their campaigns. He's clearly a length or two better than them. But for him to come back and do that first up is a really good sign heading forward towards the spring.
Thanks, Adam. Enjoy your day.
Thanks, Jamie. Thanks, guys.